that fits perfectly with children? Michelle. Proverbs. We're back in Proverbs. We talked about the concept of wisdom a couple weeks ago. Proverbs literature is that. When you read it, it's like the same 10 or 11 themes over and over and over. Most of them are snippets of thoughts, like complete thoughts, but snippets. And when you look at the whole book together, you see a really good picture of each one of these themes. This morning, we talk about something that is not... it's not meant to be theologically lofty. It's not high and elevated and lifting up. It's not a lot of spiritual words that you can't understand. And the reason why I say all that is to say it this way. Kids, this morning, this has something for you. From 8 to 18 to 80. The concept of friendship is not a lofty spiritual thing. It is a life skill. And if you surround yourself with the right people, the people that God says is right, the rest of your life will be much easier. It'll be filled with goodness and joy and love and care. It'll be filled with hard conversations that land properly and lead in the right direction. Because guess what? You're not perfect, neither am I. And one of those corrections that God uses, one of those graces that God gives us to keep us on this narrow path is good friends. When we gather together like this, we call it the church, right? There are other people outside of this local body that are also good friends to you. Let me tell you what they all need to have in common for the Christian. What is it? They should be what? Christian. It's kind of a harsh thing to say, and some of you, as you're younger, you really don't know how to navigate that, especially if you're in school. It's like, all my friends need to be Christian? No. But that inner circle that gets to hear your deepest hurts and your deepest longings, that gets to see the majority of your character, that inner circle that's helping you navigate life, you better believe the Bible says do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That's not just a marriage passage. It's friendship. It's business. Like, man, but this person's a genius and they know how to make money. Yeah, but do they love the Lord? You're going to give them something? You're going to give them access to your heart and your money and your finances and your kids' future? You're going to give them access to all that, knowing that their morality and yours will never match up? Do you think that's wise? Don't be unequally yoked. And so the Proverbs, they deal with this on repeat. There's a necessity to friendship. Friends, this is not an elective course. Like, you don't get to pick and choose when the commands come in what you want to believe and what you don't want to believe. I don't care what kind of character you are or what kind of person you are. You need friends. And like, when life is easy and things are going good, it's easy for us to get out of this habit. We're just checking the boxes, doing what we need to do. Things are getting accomplished and it's all good. And it's easy to feel like I'm doing pretty good by myself. I got this thing wrapped up and handled. And God would say you and I are close to failing or falling, or when that peak becomes a valley and you look around and there's no one there, it is a very lonely place to be. And for the Christian, that should never be that way with us. Sometimes it will feel like that, but it should never be like that. Even if you're in the middle of something where you feel like I've been forgotten or not taken care of, there's nothing that says you can't pick that phone up and call somebody. Right? I mean, think about it right now. No matter what position you've ever been in, if the church was good you were at, if it was this one, if it was another one, and you say, well, I felt alone and nobody reached out to me, okay, could you have picked the phone up and called someone for help? Have you ever been that alone? Say, sometimes the enemy just likes tricking you and I. Sometimes he just loves the idea of making us angry or frustrated about something that really isn't true. Sometimes you and I have created scenarios where we are alone and then we're mad that we're alone. Who tricks us into doing that? They don't love you. They don't care about you. They forgot about you. Who's that sound like? The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And you better believe that is the temptation every time you and I are walking through a valley. He wants us to feel alone. Because God wants us to understand what? You are not alone. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So even if I don't take this concept and make it real big spiritual, if I believe I am alone, what have I just accused Jesus of doing? Thank you. Man, you all are going. You're getting it this morning. Huh? I've just accused Jesus of lying. Because the enemy walks in with that temptation and says, you're alone, nobody's here. And you say, I agree with you, I am alone. Right? Proverbs and friendship. There is the necessity of friendship. Proverbs 18:1 and verse 24. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. What are one of the reasons why people living in sin isolate themselves? What's Scripture say? Because they don't want sound judgment. I want to be in the echo chamber of my own mind. I want to feel the way I want to feel. I want to say what is true, and I don't want anybody pushing back against me. And in order to do that, if I'm around good people, I can't be around good people. Because if I start talking that foolishness and somebody is close enough, guess what they're going to say? You're wrong. Don't do that. That's not right. You better not. Be careful. Don't go that road. Don't play that game. They strike out against all sound judgment. One of the things, especially with the carnal, okay, listen to me, like when you're dealing with people that you love that aren't Christian, okay, you need to be mindful of this. Because who's pushing back against their temptation to isolate? The answer is what? Nobody. The enemy loves it. Our flesh loves it. So there's two. Loves for us to isolate. So when you and I are loving people in our family, outside of our family, friends that we care about, and we're watching these things go down, it should not surprise us when they isolate. We should expect it. Because the enemy of their soul and their very flesh want to do that. They want to be left alone. They don't want sound judgment. They don't want wisdom. They don't want good advice. They want to hear what they want to hear and do what they want to do, and they don't want anybody pushing back against that. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Man, I love that passage. Because you know what's going on in that passage? God has given you and I a preview of the church. Some people have been blessed with a wonderful family. And you should thank God every day for that. And you should not be ashamed of that. You should not feel weird about that. You should be trying to bring other people into that, honestly. But some people, their family was a mess. And if they were to be left to their own devices, they would hate the concept of family. They would hate the concept of a father. They would hate the concept of a mother. Why? Because we butchered those titles. And God gives a way of escape, though. Some of you in this room and churches all over the place, the people that come there are closer than the people your blood related to. God has designed it that way. There is access and opportunity for him to build something that you have been robbed of for whatever reason. And instead of bringing those things into the church and dealing with them properly, we kind of hide them. We kind of deal with them on our own. And we end up going days, weeks, months, or years in an area of deficit where there shouldn't be none. God has made a way to give you a family. It is the church. And a million years from now, the blood of Jesus Christ will be the binding factor you and I will have together. Not the blood we were born into. Not Adam's sinful blood. Not that. But Jesus' blood will be the peace that holds us together. That's the family God is building. How about Proverbs 27:17? Iron sharpens iron. One man sharpens another. What happens when you and I isolate? We get away from sound judgment. When you and I get away from sound judgment, you know what happens to us? We don't get better. We don't get smarter. We don't get tougher. We don't get any of those things. You know what happens to us? We lose our edge. You, godly men and godly women, are a tool that the Lord uses to bless and to grow and to strengthen the people that you come into contact with. You are an absolute blessing on this world when you want to honor Him and love other people. You, as iron sharpens iron. You know, we talked the concept of sharpening a blade. The concept of sharpening a blade, it takes proximity. You have to be close, and it takes friction. You actually have to touch. There has to be heat, and there has to be friction. There has to be moments that are hard. There has to be the heat of intensity in order to sharpen that blade. And I remember saying that one time, and Phil come up to me after service. This was years ago, maybe when he first started coming here. And he come up, and he said, you know what? The last thing you need, though, to really sharpen a blade, you need some kind of lubricant that makes those things, that calms those things down just a little bit and continues to fine out that edge. And he says, what that is love. So you and I need truth. We need proximity. We need to be close to each other. We need to live in that truth. And then what makes those moments possible, what gets that blade super sharp, is love. Because when you and I are having these hard conversations, it's coming from a heart of love. I want to see you blessed. You want to see me blessed. We're not trying to get one over on each other. We're not trying to harm each other. I want to see your life reach its potential. And I want you to pass it down to your children. And I want you to hear well done when you stand in front of King Jesus. Eyes of fire. That's who we're stepping in front of. That moment, I want you to hear well done. And part of that is this: iron sharpening iron. Ecclesiastes, we go there and we read it all the time at weddings. But the same author, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. In business, in friendship, in marriage, man, you get two people moving in the right direction. You get two people moving in the same direction. This is one of the reasons about unequally yoked that you and I have to be careful about. Children, listen to me. One of the reasons about being unequally yoked is if you take two ox and you put them under the same yoke and they're going different directions, guess how much of the field gets plowed? None. You can't do it. So that's the warning for you and I as we step into life, as we start making these decisions. Yoke up, join your power, join your strength to people that are going the same direction, and you will change the world. You'll change your home, you'll change your community, and you will change more than you ever dreamed of. God multiplies our strengths. In marriage, we always get to this passage, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And what is that third fold in a marriage? It is God binding these things together, drawing you and me and my wife, not you and I, that's the wrong thing, me and my wife together. We're in the wrong conversation, right? Binding those things together. That third cord is the Lord. But if you get into friendship, what happens if you got two good friends? We got a work party coming up on a Saturday. We got two people that show up, there'll be some stuff get done. We got a third person show up, guess what? It just multiplies over and over and over, especially if they know what they're doing. If not, they usually bring some good comedy, right? Some good time of fellowship, a good time together. They could pull stuff. They had me here one time running wire. You guess what I'm good for when it comes to running wire? Pulling it. How far do we have to go? 200 feet. All right, let's drill this hole and let's do this thing. But the point is, God multiplies your strength. You will never be as strong as you can be alone, ever, ever, ever. You will always be at your weakest if you're by yourself. And that's the way the Lord planned it. In the garden, what's the first thing God said is not good? It's not good for man to be alone. The very first thing. Not good for man. That is still the command. That is still the warning God gives. How about the next ones? The warnings in friendship. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, many a man proclaims him his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? A piece of Proverbs is this, giving you a warning about not who not to attach to. Huh? You see, there's two avenues to this. There's a good friend or being a good friend, and then there's character you and I should run from. You actually run from people? Oh, absolutely. But how can I still love them? How can I still minister to them? You do it at a distance. They're not your best friends. You don't tell them your secrets. You don't dive into a relationship with them, get attached to a point where their bad decisions come back to harm you or their temptations come back to break you. You see, this is really possible. You and I love the world best by loving Jesus most and loving them as ministry, not fellowship. You and I are looking around, and you know what we're looking for? We're looking for men or women who proclaim their steadfast love and then back it up. Give me men and women of character. Help me understand their word means what it means. That's the vision you and I are hoping for. That's the warning God wants you and I to give. Some of you young ones, as you step into school, middle school, high school, where it gets really intense, and there's a lot of things going on there, a lot of this wisdom in Proverbs is going to save you from some really bad people and some really bad decisions. You're in the situation right now where with the people you hang out with, they've got video recorders, they've got cameras on them at all times, they're asking you for certain things, and you wake up the next morning and you've done something you shouldn't have done, and now they are mad at you. What have you given a person of bad character? Somebody say ammo. Somebody say something that can destroy my life. Proverbs will give you warnings who to run from. People that proclaim their steadfast love, and it is real. Proverbs 11:13, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered up. You want to be a good friend for somebody? Hold their secrets. You got information you shouldn't have. You've got something embarrassing. You've got something going on. If it's not sinful and it doesn't need to be dealt with properly, hold the secret. Do not separate friends. Do not try to harm them by telling that. And young ones, listen to me. If you got somebody right now that's in your ear telling you bad things about other people, you know what they're going to do tomorrow when they don't like you anymore? They're going to do the exact same thing. The wicked slander. The wicked reveal secrets. You know one of the ways we do it at the church all the time? Come on, somebody say it out loud. It's the joke. It's a prayer request. I got a prayer request for you. Let me tell you about Tim. Let me tell you about Tim and his family. It's a prayer request, so I want you to be praying for it. Like, but do you know, blah, 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 blah. And God says, wicked, demonic. That's what the enemy does. When a person goes about doing this, what do you do inside a church? Do you make it more safe or less safe? More trustworthy or less trustworthy? More like heaven or more like hell? Say it out loud. More like hell. When I run my mouth and I say things that don't need to be said, when I reveal secrets or slander my brothers and sisters, God looks at that and says, that's an abomination. Proverbs 6. 12:26 says, one who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. How about this one, 16:28? A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. What's the problem with that? Sometimes that whisperer we want to be close to. They're popular. Got a little bit of money. They dress nice. Other people want to be around them, so I want to be around them. And all the while, I am attaching my character to someone that spreads strife, that harms other people, eventually thinking that it's not going to happen to me. You give them access. You draw them close. They will try to destroy you too. And these are warnings given in a document that's 3,000-ish years old. I love reading the Old Testament and seeing people in the Old Testament because you know what it reminds me of? People haven't changed. The warnings in friendship. Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. A lot of these verses are going to come back up when we talk about how we use our language and how we use our mouth and how we speak, because that is deep in Proverbs 2. What I'm showing you this morning is the character of people you should not be friends with. You run around with people that love to have a juicy secret and just want to be the first to tell you. Be careful. Eventually it's going to be your secret. It's going to be your flaw. It's going to be your mess up. These people are wicked people with a bad heart. Why? Because they want everybody else to look bad so that they look. It's not hard, you all. This is not hard. How about Proverbs 22, 24? Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Be not one of those who gives pledges, who put up security for debts. If you have nothing to, with which to pay, why should you your bed be taken from under you? Attachment to people of bad character. Right? The last part of this is be careful being a cosigner for somebody's money when they have bad character. Be careful in general, because what's going to happen? A lot of times it's going to end up being yours. But the first part of that passage is what I want you to understand. What happens when I hang around angry people? What's God say happens? You and I may say, no, I'm good. I can watch and giggle. That doesn't rub off on me. What's God say? Be careful, because you're going to pick up their what? Habits. And listen, angry people set fires that cannot be put out. And if they are put out, there is so much damage that you can't go back and fix it. Be careful when you're angry. Step away. Step aside. Be quiet. And if you're near somebody that does it all the time, get away from them. That spirit will come into your house and it will mess up your relationships. You see, these people do these things that are miserable, but we don't get to feel their misery before or after. All we get to see is that it looks like they got away with something. Boy, they really told them. That's good. Ooh, they deserve that. And then you and I walk in, and the very next chance we get, we start lashing out like that. Guess what, though? You wake up the next morning, right? And now your spouse has been on the receiving end of that. Your children have been on the receiving end of that. When's the last time you had to apologize for something angry that you said? How'd that feel? When all the while in your mind you're thinking, if I'd have just kept my mouth shut, I would never have to come back in and say, I was wrong, I'm sorry. And all it took was. Make no friendship with those that are given to anger. How about 20? Keep going with me. How about Proverbs 13? Counsel and wise advice comes from good friendships. Proverbs 13, 20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes what? But the companion of fool will suffer what? Now you have to sort out who's in charge of calling people wise or calling people a fool. If you sort out who is wise, you understand the ways of wisdom. But if you and I look at the world and say, well, that person's wise, I'll follow them. And God says, no, that person is a fool. And you're still following them. You're going to end up suffering their harm. Proverbs 15, 22, without counsel, plans fail. But with many advisors, they succeed. How much time and how much money could I have saved in my life if I had listened to wise counsel? But you know what happens with wise counsel? You know why it's so hard to listen to? Because it never really agrees with what I want to do. Right? I want this thing. I want to do this thing. This feels right to me. This feels like a good direction. And all of a sudden, you've wasted time, talent, testimony, treasure. You've wasted it fixing that bad decision because you didn't like what wise counsel had to say. Without counsel, plans fail. How about 16:7? When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. I have seen God do this in my own life. And I've seen it as far back as middle school and high school. For some reason in my life, the Lord has made those that had a difficult time getting along with everybody else, they've always got along with me. Never had an issue with a bully. Never had an issue with anyone like that. But you walk in on day one, and you are that person, and you hold that line. And we talked about this in Sunday school this morning in Acts. Worldly forces will bow the knee to Jesus in you. You having issues with somebody? The Lord says, if your ways please Him, He will make even His enemies be at peace with you. They may not like you, they may not love you, but there is something about the life that you're living that will draw them in. And if they are your boss, hey, check this out. If they are your boss, they'll actually need what you have to offer. So they're not real nice and they don't like me real well. Teacher, another kid in class, you love and treat them with respect, you treat them like Jesus treats people, and guess what happens? They want what you have to offer. You're kind and peace-filled. Everywhere else is chaos, and here you are, loving and caring. 17:17, a friend loves at all time, and a brother is born for adversity. Aren't you glad that there are brothers and sisters that have been born for adversity? God gave them life so that they could step in and help you. Is that not awesome? You know, our lives, you start thinking about the sovereignty of God and what He could have done. Do you understand that you people here and the people in our past and the people that are missing, the Lord in His divine sovereignty set up for you to be here so that my life might be blessed, that it might be stronger and helpful, and yours might be the same. Like He's paying attention to all those details. And then when you go backwards and you think about how your grandparents and their parents and their parents and all of these things are interconnecting to bring you here for a time such as this, just like Esther. You are here for a time such as this. How about Proverbs 25:17? Here's a little warning for you. Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you or despise you. Right? Be mindful. Be mindful. The Lord has given us good people that have surrounded us. Now, you and I, for the most part in our culture, we'll never touch that. We will never touch that. When's the last time you walked in your neighbor's house? When's the last time you had somebody knock on your door and it didn't scare you or freak you out a little bit? And if you watch enough news, when somebody knocks on the door, you think it's the cops. Like, that's just where I'm at right now. Like, oh, what have we done, right? Somebody's showing up for something. Like, but when's the last time somebody knocked on your door? Like, even the mailman don't even stick around anymore. Whoa! Right? They gone. They don't even stick around anymore. So you and I aren't there. We need to work the opposite. We're spending so much time separated that it gets real easy to think we're self-sufficient or moving like we should be. How about Proverbs 27? Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Enemies love to flatter. Enemies loved to tempt. Friends will encourage. They will correct. They will get in your face and exhort you to do the right thing. Those are friends. But enemies, man, they just slobber all over and flatter all over and just to get what they want out of you. Young ones, listen to that. Somebody talking too much flattery in your life, you need to run because they're getting ready to ask for something that's not theirs. They're getting ready to ask you for something that's going to warp your future, dishonor your God, and leave lasting scars that don't go away. Flatterers need to be run from. They are evil and wicked, like the tongue of the serpent. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, right? Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Do not forsake your friend and your father's friend, and do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away. You and I get counsel, we get advice, we get love, we get care, and God has backfilled what was lacking in some of your lives with a church. Do not forsake the church, the people in it that love the Lord and love you. If you do, you will be forever weaker. You young ones going to school, you need to gather up with people that not just claim to be Christian. Greatest trick ever. Some kid be bopping around. They're at this church, that is wonderful. You gather up with people that love Jesus. But if they're at another church and they go to your school, you gather up and surround yourself with people that love the Lord because you'll always be going in the same direction. And when times are tough, they will be there. Everybody else may forsake you, but the Lord's people will be there. One of the greatest graces in my life is the fact that the guys that I was friends with in high school, I am still friends with to this day. One of which is a best friend. He has loved the Lord as long as I can remember, and he's still loving the Lord now, and it's one of the greatest graces I have ever had because God has been there and working through that relationship from the time, from all of these transitions into life. The greatest grace I ever had is a wife that loves the Lord and wants to honor him and serve him. And both of these things are based out of friendship. And some of you are making decisions right now that are going to send you down that road. Friendship is a life skill. Friendship is of vital importance, and God wants to be involved with the friends that you're making. A certain group of people in your life are fellowship. They love the Lord, you love them, they love you, and the safety is there, and the guard comes down, and the walls come down, and you walk into those situations and you say, I'm hurting, I need you, I need help, can you pray for me? That's that group of people. I'm thinking about doing this, what do you think? And then everybody else, I don't care if they're related to you or not, mom, dad, brother, sister, children are ministry. That's hard to say, isn't it? It's hard to think. But those that don't know the Lord and don't want to honor Him properly, that's the group that you and I step in and say, I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I am a soldier for the kingdom. And I am here to minister. I am here to love. Lord, fill me up and pour me out. As they come this morning to play, this concept of friendship has been written off for so long. Proverbs makes it a big, big deal. Why? Because the direction of your life and the direction of mine will be helped or hurt with the people we gather close to us, with those that we share our heart with those that we beg for help. If you need something this morning, you come as they play. You want to come and pray. If you don't know the Lord, again, we do this rarely, but just a reminder, man, if you're missing something that we're talking about and you don't know Him, I am begging you to sort that out today. You don't have to talk to me. Talk to someone else that you're comfortable with, but sort that out. One of the signs that you and I are a part of God's kingdom is the attachment to His church. Jesus said, they'll know you love me by the way you love one another. What do you think He's talking about there? The friendships that come in the relationships you and I are building. Would you stand with me this morning? If you need something, you come.